This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program 72 in a 260 program series dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years, the WHKP years. Follows the same format as the 25-year series of the great Frank L. Fitzsimmons, so we call it merely Where Fitz Left Off. And yesterday I told you that Ralph Jones was going to bring to me some history of the work of the Henderson County Rescue Squad. When I arrived at Boyd Pontiac, where Ralph works, he motioned for me to pull my car closer to his, and in a minute I'll tell you why. When I pulled up alongside Ralph Jones' car, he opened the back door and handed over to me two huge scrapbooks and an enormous stack of newspapers. "This'll tell the story," he said, referring, of course, to the story of the rescue squad. I spent that night going through scrapbooks. At first, Ralph was very meticulous, clipping each picture and story and pasting them in an orderly fashion into scrapbook number one. I was able to quickly note that the first year the rescue squad operated, there were three drownings, one at Lake Summit, one at Laurel Park, one at a farm pond out at Dana. I noticed also that at Christmas time, a 47-year-old man had suffered a heart attack in a tree while gathering mistletoe. He apparently had died instantly. The rescue squad was able to remove and lower his body from that very large tree. It appears that the first really big snow the rescue squad encountered was in 1960, when the squad answered 54 so-called mercy calls. One of these was to bring out a very ill housewife on an Arctic snow sled and get her to Party Hospital. I use the phrase mercy calls because the squad also routinely transports nurses and other medical personnel to and from Party Hospital. These are not logged as calls at all. They're just services to the general public. The squad had operated maybe 2 years when a Florida man fell over the 90-foot outcropping out on World's Edge, and they were able to get to him, rescue him, using ropes and rappelling over the side, and then hoisting him back to safety and transporting him to Party Hospital. One lady tripped and fell over the edge of Jump Off Rock and tumbled and bounced 300 feet before being stopped by a tree. One tumble gave her a sheer drop of 30 feet, and Captain Ed Honeycutt said he was amazed that she had survived the ordeal with no greater injuries than she had experienced. The rescue squad experienced its first flood in August of 1961, and again with the giant flood that inundated WHKP in 1964. Folks were rescued from cars stranded or washed away in the raging floodwaters. It was not mentioned in any of these scrapbooks, but I remember in the flood of 1964 there was no Four Seasons Boulevard, and the only way you could get from the east side of the county across the Mud Creek bottoms was by boat, and one little mother was transported to Elm Street and 7th Avenue East, where there was dry ground and she could get to the hospital to have her baby. Then there were plane crashes. Their first was in 1963, when an aircraft crashed into the side of Sugarloaf Mountain. Their worst, by far, was the Piedmont Airlines disaster on July 20, 1967, where 82 people lost their lives. My son Kerry was a trainee of the squad then and was assigned to the tutelage of the late H.D. Mac McAllister. The two of them, in the horror of working together those 24 hours, established a bond of friendship which became lifelong. In 1980, Mac, Herman Hawkins, and David Bennett would receive 20-year service awards. The rescue squad in those early years were also auxiliary policemen, and they responded along with firemen to every major fire call. Winn-Dixie on 5th Avenue, Barber's Studio on Main, Hendersonville Supply and Coal, Hendersonville Lumber, Superior Laundry. By this time, I was deep into the second scrapbook, and Ralph Jones, the keeper of the records, was not nearly as painstaking and neat as he had been in Book One. Now the articles were just torn from newspapers and stuck in pages. Later, just the page was inserted, and by the 1970s, Ralph just started saving whole newspapers. The Times News, the Citizen, the Times, the Western Carolina Tribune, even the monthly newsletters of the North Carolina Rescue Squads. When I fell asleep, gingerly opening those faded and yellowed old publications, I finally gave it up for the night, but at 3 a.m. the next day, wide awake and with my first coffee of the day, was ready to begin again. When I finally worked my way through that huge stack, I noticed that by 1985, Ralph had even stopped saving newspapers. It had just got too big of a job to record the activities of the rescue squad. And then I realized what a stupid question I'd asked when I had said to Ralph, "Do you have any idea of the number of calls or the hours involved over the past 39 years? Incalculable. More memories then can be covered by this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here with a good sense never to leave, Sursum Corda, as we approach the next 50 years.